chapter 2. The Bible says that the gospel is for all the nations. Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew wants us to know that the birth of Jesus wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for a few people that had been looking for the Messiah. That the birth of Jesus is for everybody. And so he's the only gospel writer that includes the story of the wise men. Now these wise men, some commentators call them magi. They're a mysterious bunch. All of our Christmas plays have three of them, but we don't know that there was three of them. The only reason there's three in most Christmas plays is because they brought three gifts. More than likely, there was a caravan of them. There was a whole bunch of them. And they traveled for about 2 years and probably traveled 1,000 miles. More than likely came from ancient Persia, and they were God seekers. They were men that were looking for and seeking God, and they were looking to the heavens for a sign. And one day, as they were looking to the heavens, a star appeared that they'd never seen before. Some people believe the star was an angel of light. But they were astronomers. They looked to the heavens and they studied the stars and they looked for patterns and they looked for signs. And one day a star appeared that they'd never seen before. And not only did it appear, but it beckoned them to follow. And we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Judea in the days of King Herod. Now let's pause there a minute. This is probably 2 years later. Our Christmas plays are wrong in the sense that we have them coming and bowing at a manger. It says later in the story they came to a house in Bethlehem. So Jesus had been born. When he was born, the shepherds came and worshipped while he was a baby. But here these magi had been, these wise men had been making their way from wherever they were to Bethlehem. So 2 years later or so, wise men, it says, from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star that they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. These magi, these wise men, came and did what we are to do when we find and seek, when we seek and find Jesus. Their story is to be our story. And they came and asked the question, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" And the religious leaders didn't know. They didn't know that a king had been born. They didn't see the star. One of my fears of being a not only a pastor, but having worked in denominational work for 20 years, one of my fears has always been that I would become so religious that I'd be of no use to God. One of my fears has been that doing the work of God would kill God's work in me. That I would get so busy as a pastor, so busy as a denominational leader, that I would miss God's movement around me and in me. These religious people, they went to the chief priest and the scribes, supposedly the people that told them about God. And yet they didn't know that the Son of God had been born just a few miles south of them in Bethlehem. God help us if we become so baptized in the church that we forget what the church is all about. That we get so busy doing church that we miss the whole purpose of church, which is to go and spread the gospel to all the nations, so that boys and girls, men and women, might come to Christ. That He might do His work in us. What do we learn from these wise men, from the Magi? They were God seekers who were willing to leave where they were and to go where God led them. And that really is really what discipleship is all about. That's what we're going to talk about today. Leaving where you are and going to where God wants. And sometimes that doesn't make a lot of sense to us. The lessons I want to lift up today from these wise men is really how they dealt with their expectations. They left the country where they were, probably rich people. They brought rich gifts. They took a lot of money to travel from where they were to where they were going, and they paid their own way, and these were people of means. But when they got there, it wasn't like they expected. They expected to find a newborn king in a palace surrounded by pomp and ceremony and power. But the star eventually led them to Bethlehem, a small village just south of Jerusalem. When they came to the place where the star stopped, they found not a palace. Instead, they found humble Jewish parents in humble surroundings, not a palace, not royalty, not what they expected. For some of us, life is not filled with a lot of good news this Christmas season. Crazy things happening. A bombing in downtown Nashville on Christmas Day. To what end? We don't know. Just chaos. Family members. I just got word from about Jerry Oakley and his wife Brenda. They both have COVID. I've known Jerry for years, and many of us have family members and loved ones and friends. I've had friends to die this year of this virus. It's a crazy time. For many, this is not a time of great joy. The story of Christmas is not some fairy tale, some story made up so that merchants can make their year. It's a story of what God wants to do in our life, even when life hasn't turned out like we had hoped or like we expected. It's how do you deal with stables when you've been looking and following a star? The Magi become our guides. And just imagine their disappointment. They're incredulous that this star would lead them not to Jerusalem, not to a palace, not to royalty, but would lead them to a small village in very humble surroundings. We have high expectations. Many of us have followed a star only to find a stable. I don't know how many weddings I've done over the years, hundreds of weddings. I've never done a wedding for a couple that didn't have high expectations. And yet many of them have followed a star and found a stable. Maybe it's your job that you thought was so secure. Your star was rising, but then the boss comes in and says, we've got to downsize. COVID has caused us to reorganize and to lay people off and to streamline. You were following a star and you found a stable. Maybe it's your health, which most of us take for granted. You were following the star of health, but what you're finding is that you're not as healthy as you thought you were. Maybe your star was retirement, but you found retirement was not what you thought it would be. Some had followed a star and found a stable. The Magi teaches three lessons about stables. What do you do when you're following a star and find a stable? Well, you ask the question, is God in the stable? You see, when these Magi came, they followed the star. They followed God's leading, and when they came to Bethlehem, they could have said, no, this can't be the king. No, this can't be. When they came and when the star stopped over this humble dwelling, they could have said, no, that's not what God's about. I was out witnessing one time in Henderson, outside of this little community of Zion, where we pastored for 16 years, and had one of my deacons with me, and we were going to visit a family that had been coming to church, and we got there, and when we sat down, the guy said, you know, I knew you all were coming tonight, but somebody just came a few minutes ago and asked us where Belfield Baptist Church was. And they knocked on the door, and they were looking for Belfield. And this couple didn't live too far from Belfield Baptist. And the guy said, well, you go out of my driveway and turn left and go down the next road and turn right, and you go there and turn left. And the guy said, no, that's not how you get there. And the guy in the house said, well, that's how I get there, and I go by there every day. And he said, well, the guy left, and I have no idea where he's going. Some of us, we get directions from God, and we go, No, I know better how to live my life than how you know I should live my life. And we decide to do things on our own. It's called self-directed living, and it's really the heart of sin. These Magi, when they got to the place where Jesus was, where the child was, they asked God, what they said, is this where God is? And they found out that it was. Many folks think God is only in the good times of life, and not in the tough times. But there's nothing easy about this scenario of the birth of Jesus. He came to a couple that were betrothed to each other. Never had sexual relations. The talk was probably not very complimentary. They had to leave Nazareth and come 70 miles south to Bethlehem in difficult times and full pregnancy. They get there, and there's no place to stay. And you almost hear Joseph saying, hey, we need a break here, God. You ever felt that way? God, I need something good to happen. God, I need you to show up here some way. The wise men left their families and traveled far across rivers and deserts only to find very humble surroundings. But notice what they did. When they saw God in the stable, they rejoiced. They fell down and worshiped. When the Magi came to the stable, instead of turning back and going home, because they did not find what they expected, they went in and found the Son of God. The Magi teach us what to look for. You look for God in your surroundings. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm going to tell you, God does. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. Do you know that the Bible tells us that He has recorded every beat of your heart? From the time you were conceived, God has counted every beat of your heart. He has bottled every tear you've ever cried. He knows everything about you. And so, whatever circumstance, whatever situation you find yourself in, the Magi teach us to ask the questions, where's God? And if you'll look around, you'll find Him. Even though it may not be ideal, maybe be troublesome, even though it may be painful, even though it may be chaotic, God is in the situations of life. The second lesson they teach us is that when we find Jesus, when we see God in our situations, what we do is we give Him our very best in worship. When they found the child, they brought their gifts and they bowed down and worshiped Him. The Magi teach us about gift giving. Now, some men I'm not going to comment on women because I'm not one, and I don't ever intend to be one. Hello. Many men have trouble giving good gifts. That's why my wife tells me what she wants. I learned early in marriage that to buy her what she wants, not what I think she wants. This one lady told her husband that she wanted something that would go from zero to 200 real quick. So he bought her a pair of bathroom scales. not real smart. Now, Dean, you know better than that, brother. I mean, seriously, man, you know. One lady put on the refrigerator that she wanted something that would make her look young and beautiful. So she opened this package on Christmas morning, and there was a health club subscription. It's not real smart. The Magi, the wise men, gave good gifts. They gave the best they had. Don't you know, when they left, wherever they were, they thought, well, if we're going to meet this king, we better bring gifts fitting for a king. What gifts do we give? What is it that God wants from us? Well, let me tell you what he wants. He wants you. That's what he wants. You don't have anything he needs. You didn't create the oxygen that we're breathing right now. You didn't make the sun come up this morning. You didn't have put the full moon like there was last night. You didn't do any of that. You don't have anything God needs. Nothing. He is self-sufficient. But he's chosen to use you. And he created you. And the gift he wants from you is you. He wants your ability. He wants your intellect. He wants you to bring him your surrendered heart and to offer him, as we move into this new year, to offer him the very best you have. Not scraps. I remember the first church that we pastored in Ohio, a little place called Felicity, Ohio. And what people wanted to do was they wanted to bring their broken stuff and give it to church to give away to people. They brought a broken crib to church. Well, preacher, you think anybody could use this? No. Could you use it? No. I mean, stuff they brought was junk. It was indicative of their hearts. God wants your best. Not junk, not your broken stuff, although he wants our broken hearts because he's the only one that can put it together. But God wants you now and in this coming year to give him the best you got, whatever that is, the very best. For some of us, as we diminish in capacity, as we age, our best is not what it used to be. But it is what it is, and you can give the very best you got. The gift God wants from you is your very best. These Magi brought gifts, prophetic gifts. Gold was a gift fit for a king. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Frankincense was a gift for a priest. To offer this fragrant offering. Jesus is our high priest. He makes intercession for us even now. He stands at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And myrrh was a fragrant ointment used to anoint the body of someone who was dead. Jesus came not only to be born, but he came to die for the sins of the world. They gave their very best. When we realize that God is in our situations, whatever they are, we'll offer him our very best. And it begins with giving him ourselves. You say, but Pastor Dan, you don't understand my circumstance. Well, I probably don't exactly, but I've stood by a lot of people over the years in a lot of different circumstances. And here's some lessons that I've learned over the years. I read a story about, I'm going to tell you two stories that James Michener told. One of them in a book called The Eagle and the Raven about Sam Houston and Santa Anna. This one he told about where he grew up. And he said there was a farmer that lived next door to them and had this all these beautiful apple trees. And one year a storm came through and blew down some of the apple trees that were full of apples. And James Michener said, I asked the farmer, what are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going to pick the apples and cut up the tree and burn it. Some of you have had your apple trees blown down, promising things. Things that you thought were going to be fruitful, things that were going to work out really good, and then a storm comes through and blows them down. What do? You pick the apples, you cut up the tree, and you move on. James Michener tells in the preface of the book, The Eagle and the Raven, he tells about another farmer that lived close to him. That had apple trees. Probably the same guy. Didn't say that, but probably was. And some of his apple trees quit producing. They were several years old. And so the farmer took 8 long, rusty nails and nailed 4 of them at the base, at the compass points, and went up 3 or 4 feet on the tree and drove in 4 more nails. This was in the spring of the year before the budding started out. And that fall, those apple trees that he'd hammered the nails into, these rusty nails, produced bumper crops. And James Michener said, I asked the farmer, what did the nails do? He said, the nails reminded the tree that it existed to bear fruit. Then he told his own story about how he'd had a heart attack. And the heart attack served as rusty nails to remind him that life wasn't yet over. He wrote more after his heart attack than he wrote before. I don't know what your rusty nails are. But maybe God's trying to teach you a lesson that life isn't over with yet. Maybe God's trying to teach you that He is still wants to use you even in spite of the difficulties. Here's been my experience. That you only learn lessons of life in difficulty. You don't ever learn them in prosperity. Things going well, you're not going to learn anything. But when difficulty comes, that's when you're going to learn. That's why Jesus was born in a stable and not a palace. Because God knew that most people in the world are not going to live in palaces. Most people are going to live in very humble surroundings. And it's there that the lessons are learned. The wise men teach us this as we end 2020 and move into 2021. To turn our situations into sanctuaries. To turn our problems into praise. Instead of just falling down, fall down and worship Him. For it's in the falling down that you'll find the strength to stand up and move in a different direction. And that's the third and final lesson of the Magi. They came, they saw, they bowed down and worshiped, they offered the best they had. And then it says, being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by a different route. You see, when you find God in your situation, when you finally see God in your life, change directions. Don't go on living the same way. The old saying, insanity is doing the same things the same way and expecting different results. These Magi went home a different route than they came, and that's really what repentance is all about. It's what salvation is about. It's what sanctification is about. It's what discipleship is all about. It's walking a different path. So some of you look back on 2020, you've made some you've had some hard times. You've had to make some difficult decisions. There have been things come to you that you never expected. Who would have ever thought the COVID would change our world like it has? God's calling us to a different and a deeper way of living. He's wanting us to see Him. He's wanting us to share Him. He's wanting us to seek Him. When the Magi departed, they went home a different route. What a shame it would be to find God in the situations of life, fall down and worship Him, give Him our very best, and then go away unchanged. My brother-in-law and I were talking this week as we spent some time together the holidays, Charlene's sister's husband. He was raised in East Tennessee, and he didn't have electricity until he was 10 years old. Some of you may have grown up that way. It was difficult. I told him about my mother grew up in McCrory County in southern Kentucky, the poorest county in the state, and she didn't get electricity until she was in high school. But my granddaddy told about a story about a woman that grew up in Blue John, which is a little community in McCrory County. And right after the Second World War, they brought electricity to Blue John. And they ran the wires, and they ran them down the wall, and they put a light bulb in her kitchen and one in her what they would have called a living room, and put a meter outside, and then came back after a month or so and read the meter, and it hadn't moved hardly at all. And they knocked on the door and said, "Ma'am, is your..." Now where I grew up, they didn't call electricity, they called it par. Anybody here know what par is? Hello. They said, "Ma'am, is your power on?" She said, "Yeah, yes, on." He said, "Well, I noticed you haven't used much power." And she said, "Yeah, I turned it on long enough just to light my coal oil liners." Here's a woman that had power, but she was unchanged. Some of us have got the power of the Holy Spirit, and we live far below the expectation and the privileges that we have. God wants to do in you far more than you've ever dreamed. Quit making excuses. All right, whining around, having these little pity parties. God wants to do in you what He created to do. But you've got to let go of the past for that to happen. You know how they catch monkeys? Now, nobody here's a monkey, okay? So don't, I'm not, Ed isn't in here, so I'm not talking about Ed, so. Do you know how they catch monkeys in South America? They take a coconut and they hollow out the inside. And they drill a hole just big enough for a monkey to get its open hand inside. They put cocoa beans inside of the coconut and they tether it to a tree. And monkeys love cocoa beans, and they put their open hand in there and they grab the cocoa beans, and with a clenched fist they cannot get out. And so they get caught. Some of you are holding on to things that's happened in 2020 or years before or whatever. And here's what God wants from you as you enter 21. He wants you to let them go. He wants you to give them to Him. He wants you to move on in faith. So what about it today? Are you willing to let go of whatever situations that you found yourself in? Just think of the beautiful picture of repentance. Repentance means to change direction. In order to do that, you've got to let go of the past and reach out with both hands to the future. And that's my prayer for you as a church and you as individuals as we move into 2021. Let's stand to our feet as we pray together. Lord, there's people here who have been hanging on to disappointment and heartache, hurt, bitterness, strife. Things they thought were going to work out that didn't.
people that have disappointed them, they've disappointed themselves. But Lord, we know you know all of that. You know everything about us, and you've chosen to love us. You've chosen to speak to us, to speak through us, to use us to your honor and glory. And so, Lord, we pray today that we'll let go of those things that have hindered us in 2020 from being your surrendered servants. We'll look around our situations and see you in the difficulties of life. And we'll bow down and worship. We'll give you our best, Lord, today. So right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, right where you stand, just draw a circle around yourself and make it a sanctuary right where you are. Lord, I give myself to you afresh. I want to leave this year behind like a building leaves its foundation. I trust you, Lord, for this coming year. Use me, Lord. I give you myself. Use me to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. All God's people said, may it be true.